Welcome back to the Surreality Podcast, where we're recapping celeb reality shows from the very beginning. And today we are continuing our journey through Rock of Love Land. And with me today, I have two very, very special guests with me today. I've had them on both before. I have Justine from The Shore Store on and Anthony DiDomenico from the Keep It Moving podcast.
Keep it moving.
Our favorite. Just keep it moving. No, it is the Keep Moving Forward podcast.
Yes.
But I'll just never live it down.
I think that's hilarious. Every time you say it, it makes me laugh. Keep it moving.
Keep it going.
Keep it moving.
Well, I have you guys on to watch the Meet the Parents episode of Rock of Love. What did you guys think in a nutshell?
Amazing.
You liked it?
Well, this was, you know, going into, because I've seen one episode of Rock of Love, and you guys had told me about this episode before. Mm-hmm. And when I'm thinking about, like, how is this going to, like, it lived up to every expectation. Actually went beyond. This Good. Is, like, exactly what early 2000s reality TV should be. This is, like, a masterclass in early 2000s reality TV. I love this episode. I really did.
It's a TED Talk. Yeah.
Yeah.
What about you, Justine?
Of course, I've seen this before. Rock of Love is forever one of my favorite shows. And this is one of the best episodes from season one. I would say this one and the Vegas episode where Brandy like pukes on herself.
Yeah, which are back to back.
Yeah, exactly.
They're back to back episodes. So
I saw
classic episode.
As of like doing the recap, I saw
that. Yeah.
Brad, I love you. And Anthony, it's so fucked up. As that's happening, as this girl who got hammered with Brett's band, she's puking her guts out. She starts puking at dinner, actively at the table. Brett brings her into the bathroom. And as she's puking, she looks up at him and says, I want to tell you that I love you, but it's too early. I can't. And he looks down at her and goes, no, you can say it. Like, it's so fucked up.
Well, I mean, he's probably been in that situation many times before. As somebody who's a rock star in the 80s, I mean, mm-hmm. come on, that's every night.
Mm-hmm.
But, it's funny.
They didn't make it. Surprise, surprise. Yeah. So we're going to talk about Rock of Love, Season 1, Episode 10, Meet the Parents, which is possibly my favorite episode of anything ever. I've seen this so many times. It's so good. From beginning to end, it delivers. It aired September 16th, 2007.
Wow.
I know. We open up, and so we're just left with three girls now. I think the last time I had you on, Anthony, it was, I think we had like at least 10.
Yeah, there was a lot of girls on.
10 to 12. How did you feel when you saw that this was the top three? Or did you already know?
Well, you guys had told me. I actually like, okay. Yeah, well, fair. But no, honestly, it makes sense. I mean, the three I could, you know, even back then, early on, these were the three that you kind of saw in the forefront, like the, you know, above the other ones. So, yeah, no, I wasn't surprised to see that these are the three that were there.
Right on. We open up with the girls wondering. Oh, so we're down to Jess, Heather, and Lacey. And they're wondering what's going to go down that day. And Heather and Lacey give us a little talking head about how, like, you know, up until this point, they've been best friends. They've had an alliance.
So there's three girls left. Lacey and I have had an alliance from the start. But after the way she acted in Vegas, I don't trust her.
Even though Heather and I have worked together as far as getting rid of all these girls, right now it's time to look out for myself.
So then we get to hear from Brett. And he tells us he's got a little treat in store for the girls today. He has brought in their parents. He's flown them in from wherever bumfuck town they're all from. And he's like, you know what they say. When you marry the girl, you marry the parents. And I was like, do they? Do people say that?
Yeah, they say that, actually.
Really?
Now, yeah, you marry the family.
I don't feel
it. It depends on the person. If the person's really close with their family and like my ex-boyfriend, for example, like his parents every single Sunday did a Sunday dinner. And I know that's a big thing in your family too, Anthony. And so if it's like a situation like that, I would say, yeah, but there's a lot of situations where it's not like that at all, you know?
So did they do the whole like numerous courses thing? Was it like that Jersey Shore episode?
well, my house or?
I was asking, like, no, with Justine. You're actually Italian, so I didn't know if this dude was also Italian or what, but
Portuguese, similar. But it was more a lot of similar. Similar cultures. Is that bad to say?
Any kind of, I think, where immigrant culture, Sunday is going to be the family day because you go to church and then you come home and you eat. It's like that kind of whole thing. That's kind of where it stemmed from. Mm. But no, Sundays in my house are always family day. Family was over, grandma cooked. That was growing up. And then now it's, you know, we're at my brother's and Sunday dinners. So whoever I'm with, yeah, Sundays is at my brother's. So you got to be okay with that because that's where I'm going to be.
Sunday is football and dinner. Mondays are football and Raw. You got every day of the week planned.
We totally watch sports. Like, you know, the football season, football's on, baseball season, the Yankees are on. Like, my brother put a TV outside. So now the weather's getting nice. We sit outside, we smoke cigars, watch the Yankees. It's the best.
Right on. I could see that being a reason to stay with someone. Like, if the food is that good, if every Sunday I'm getting fed like a queen, I'd have to like weigh some things out if I didn't like the dude.
I mean, ladies should think about that if they're gonna go out with me. My sister-in-law cooks like she's an off-the-boat Italian, and she's not even Italian. My brother barbecues like a master and a grill. He's a grill master. So there's a lot of good food. TV outside. There's a big pool in the backyard, heated, 85 degrees all summer long. I mean, think about it. There's other perks than just my pleasant personality.
Anthony, the past two guys I've had on this show have used the opportunity to try to get laid. So if you want to use this to try to pitch your, you know,
no,
whatever.
I'm not going to try to. I mean, I'm just saying, I'm just getting a selling point. It's just another, you know, there's other things that come with it. Yeah, I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the doorbell rings and Big John calls Heather down and in walks her parents, David and Brenda. And these two, I mean, I don't think it's correct to say trailer trash anymore, but I mean,
get her down.
Yeah.
So her father reminded me, we went on a cruise back in like, I think like 2005, 2006. And we ran into this family from like Florida, like North Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And they would drink with us every night because we would just fuck with them. And he'd be like, okay, get it done. All right, here we go. And it's all the guy would do. He was like, okay, yes, sir. Here we go. Get her done. Oh, he was saying get her done before I even knew what get her done was.
Sure.
Like he was.
He's the blueprint.
Like we were at the bar. I'm like, hey, what's going on? That's right. Get her done. And then the father reminded me of that guy, like on the cruise, like especially as he was drinking more.
Uh-huh.
Than a word he said. And I'm like, I'm back on the cruise. That guy, I like this guy.
Yeah.
Isn't that where they said they're from?
He's from Florida.
They're from Florida.
Yeah, he's from Florida. She's from Ohio. And they started talking about sports.
The Gators and the Buckeyes.
Gators and the Buckeyes. And then he was talking about the Jaguars beating the Steelers.
Mm-hmm.
Back then, the Steelers actually had a really good team.
I am fascinated by Heather's mother. She wears transitional lenses, which I love. And like, she 100%, I think, is someone who wears like turquoise jewelry.
Yes.
Unironically. And she calls everyone honey. I'm very into a mom who calls everyone honey. I love that. But yeah, we'll get into a little bit more about them later. I don't know if I 100% agree with everything they say. But by the way, please, I really want to hear what your guys' parents would do in this situation, especially Queen Di Domenico. I definitely want to hear what she would do if you were to bring her on a dating show like this. But
my mother?
Yes.
My mother was alive. She would walk on the show and she would tell me that I was out of my fucking mind. And she goes, I'm going to send you to the old country and find a woman. That was her whole thing. She was going to send me to Italy to find a woman because that's the kind of, you know, you got to go. You're not going to find one here. You got to go to the old country.
They're all slussing wars here.
Well, she's saying no one put up your shit here. They got to put up with the old country. You got to go to the old country. My father would think it was hilarious. He'd be like hanging out with Brett and probably like, you know, drinking and doing all the fun stuff. My mother, I don't know how she would react. You know, it's different though with boys than if you had your daughter was on it. And if your son's on the show like that. Now, if I had a daughter and she was on this show, yeah, I might have a different reaction than if your son's on a dating show, like, you know, trying to bang the star of it.
But if you had a daughter that went on, you'd be like, this is my baby girl.
No.
That's what you're saying.
She wouldn't be on the show. It's a good thing I don't have kids, because if I had a daughter, I would have to lock her away for 35 years until I was ready to let her go.
I don't think that's the route to go, man. I think that would get her exactly on Rock of Love.
Yeah, it probably would. But I'm saying that I'm very overprotective, and I already like my niece, she walked out the other day. She had like leggings on, and she had this sweater, and like, you know, her like, it's like a half sweater, her belly was showing. I'm like, where are you going showing that much skin? Mm-hmm. Like, what's going, you know? So yeah, I can be very overprotective. And so it's a good thing I don't have a daughter, because it would not be a good scene.
I get what you're saying. I was driving today and I saw three, like probably maybe 10, 11 year old girls. And one of them, same thing, had like a super duper crock top on. And you could just tell she thought she was the shit, which good for her. I don't know that confidence, but I was just like, and they were alone. I don't know. I didn't feel right about it. What about Janet? How do you think she would do in this situation, Justine?
Well, I was going to say, first of all, there's no way in hell my dad would even agree to go. So definitely be my mom and my stepdad. And I think my stepdad would be fun. He's like the type of guy that just gets along with everyone, like funny, easygoing, whatever. Mm-hmm. But my mom would definitely like kill the buzz. Like I love her, but she is not a fun person. She doesn't eat. She doesn't eat gluten. So the whole thing with going to like a barbecue restaurant like this, it would be like a whole thing. Aww. And I love her, but it definitely wouldn't be the same as Heather's parents. That's for sure.
Sure, sure. She doesn't eat gluten. I like how that's like your first.
You can't eat gluten. Well,
okay, because going to a restaurant with her. Have you ever been to a restaurant with someone who has celiac?
Do they make it like the whole thing?
Yeah, because it's different, because if it's a choice not to eat gluten, then you can still like eat foods that were cooked in the same fryer with the same stuff. But someone like her, like she can't have anything that even touched gluten. So it's like a whole thing.
When did this start being a thing for her?
A long time ago now, like a very long time ago now.
Okay.
I don't get mad, okay, because I don't eat gluten.
Yeah, she's like, I'm gonna have fun. She doesn't eat gluten. Like,
no, exactly. That's like understandable. I get it.
Yeah.
There's no way in fuck my mom would come on this show. No way. I love my mom. She's one of the shadiest people and funniest people I know, but she hates attention. She'd be too scared to be on camera. She would never fucking do it. My dad would be all in, I'm pretty sure. My dad would come on. He'd probably think it was so cool because he listened to Poison, as did my mother. Yeah. But I just think he would really be rooting for me to win. I think he would be game for whatever Brett had in store for us. He'd play ball for sure.
Yeah.
Nice.
And my dad is he's the best dad. He has always been around. He's been in my life day one, been there. He was like a Girl Scout dad. He came to all my Girl Scout meetings and shit, field trip dad, all that. So
wow, what's that like?
I was gonna say that a present amazing father still produced this somehow.
Well, so, that's what I feel bad about my father. Yeah, he was very, you know, my father went to every game, worked two jobs. We never went with that, you know, he was always around. And I equivalent to like I'm the first pancake, you know. Make your pancakes, the first one. Something's not quite, but tastes great. I mean, it's still good. You can enjoy it, but it's not.
We can do better.
Second pancake is, it's golden brown. It's nice. that's my brother. He's the second pancake.
And then, like, then he had the kids. So I'm sure your dad's like, oh, he produced me grandkids.
He had kids. So my dad now lives, you know, on the premises. So it was.
Oh.
Yeah. So, he did. My brother did everything he's supposed to do. I'm the black sheep of the family. So I gambled my 30s away on a comedy career, which did not result in anything. I wouldn't trade it for the world. I would do it again if I had to. I said to my dad one day was like, you know, he's like, oh, I wish that, you know, maybe you had kids. I'm like, ah, you got three grandkids. Like Mike gave you the kids. He's like, yeah, but it's like one for me. I'm like, three's enough. Three's good.
I will say the black sheep are always the best. My dad was the black sheep out of all of his siblings. I don't have siblings, but I'm definitely the black sheep of my cousins. And I'm assuming Justine's the black sheep of her family. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes. Very much.
Yeah. Yeah. And they're always the best. You
nothing
know?
Wrong with it. I mean, everybody's yeah. got to be that, you know, the one that doesn't, you know, march to the you know, the same beat. And mm-hmm. that's wrong with that at all.
100%. Yeah. I re-listened to when Amanda and Jody did this episode a few years ago earlier today. And they just were talking about how they thought it was a miracle that all three of these girls had dads in their lives at all.
I mean, it's kind of true.
It is. Yeah. So Heather's stoked to see her parents. She immediately goes up and hugs them. She's so happy. And she says how she only can remember two other times in her life that her parents have been in the same room, which is wild. And Brett comes to meet them. And yeah, they start talking about football. And basically,
the parents aren't together.
No, I know.
I heard that too. And they got along so well.
They really do. And when they're talking at the restaurant later, it seems like, they just talked recently.
I remember she said that and I was like, but for a divorced couple, they're killing it. They're getting along very well over here.
Maybe they fucked.
You never know. Listen, remember when, you know, mm-hmm. how you doing?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He's like, those transitional lenses are really doing it.
Yeah, he's like, oh my god, it's just going dark right now and it's just doing it for me.
And he's like on his 20th beer.
Yeah, he drank that whole thing.
So yeah, Brett hits it off with them. He keeps saying how much he likes them, but if you notice, every time he talks about why he likes Heather's parents, he's like, yeah, they know how to party. Yeah, they know how to have a good time. Yeah, they can drink. And I'm like, I think you just like that her parents are alcoholics.
Yeah, because he can live his rock and roll lifestyle. He's loving
yeah,
it.
Yeah. Then Jess's parents arrive and she's really emotional when she sees them. She starts crying. I hope this is how my daughter reacts to me in her 20s, you know, to us. And she just says she loves her parents to death. Brett comes up and talks to them and they're just, you know, they're very like straight laced type of people, you know, like kind of dorky. Though.
He has some jokes.
I mean, yeah, his first joke is talking about how his daughter has no tits.
Yeah, he points to his wife and goes, look at this. So what happened? He points to his wife.
I was like, is her dad fucking Joe Simpson over here?
Right.
And he also had if you notice, when the first time he walks in, he's got the phone clip on his side there for his phone to go in. He's got
of course. Leather
couch for his phone to go into.
My dad had one of those. I didn't clock that. That's awesome. But yeah, they have a good morale between all of them, but I thought it was a little weird just to open with that. Like, yeah, like, did my daughter tell you that she's raising money to get bigger tits?
Well, I think maybe he's talking to Brett Michaels of Poison. He's got to step it up a notch.
Yeah, he was like pacing outside before they entered. Yeah. Like, okay, how do I level with this guy? You know? Brett meets him and he's pleasantly surprised, says they're really nice.
Yeah, he loves him. Yeah.
And then Lacey's parents walk through the door. This is so okay. So we have David and Brenda that are Heather's parents, Deb and Jim, and now Otis and Karen. What a eclectic group of names. Fucking well, Jim, Bob, Deborah.
Second wife.
Oh, third, fourth, sure. Yeah. A little younger.
Yeah.
Quiet. She never fucking talks.
No, she's not allowed to.
No. Otis she wants her allowance.
Otis doesn't let her talk.
Yeah. Lacey's super excited to see them. They walk in and they walk by the album cover they did where Lacey's dressed up as the devil and it's kind of embarrassing for her, which I mean, at this point, Lacey had been in her metal band for years. So I feel like this wouldn't be that surprising for him, but he still doesn't like it.
Yeah. And I was kind of turned. How turned off he was by that. I'm like, you know what she's doing here, right? Like, I guess maybe he doesn't, but I didn't know she was in a metal band, but I guess if you're in a metal band, definitely you got to be used to a little more risque stuff going on.
Yeah. Her band's like I think it's considered a death metal band. I get all those mixed up, but she's the singer and she definitely performs in like a black leather bikini, that type of shit, you know?
My dad and I are really, really close. I'm definitely daddy's little girl.
Brett walks up and he immediately recognizes Lacey's dad from a plane ride 6 years ago from Dallas to Orlando. And Otis apparently also remembers Brett. Do you buy this? This is wild.
No, not a chance. Lacey's dad told a producer that happened. And the producer went up to Brett and was like, you guys met on a plane and you have to remember this. Also, also, Bret Michaels flies private.
Does he?
I know he flies private as of like his recent tours. I don't know about back then.
So that would have been 2001 if he said 6 years ago and this aired late 2007. I don't think Bret Michaels in 2001 was flying private.
Yeah, because before then he was playing Mulcahy's here in Long Island, and he wasn't rolling up in a bus. So I don't know how private he was flying.
Didn't you say he was kind of a dick?
Yeah. So he was a dick to my friend, and really his opening band, and he just was like, you know, he's a star, so he didn't come off the bus. He didn't like do a sound check with his band. And then he started the show like he ended the show like he started it with Talk Dirty to Me.
Say it again. What?
He opened the show with Talk Dirty to Me, and then he's like, we're going to close this like we started it, and sang Talk Dirty to Me again.
I'm going
to
give y'all what you want.
Yeah, I'm like, I heard this already.
That's so weird.
Give me a little something to believe in. That's what I want.
Yeah. Bret Michaels definitely capitalizes on being like the fans musician, you know, like the fans guy. Like he's always checking in with his fans, making sure they're happy. And so it's just odd to me for him to kind of be an asshole. But again, that was before his resurgence and whatever.
You know what also helped him a lot? He went on Celebrity Apprentice and did very well on there. And it kind of rejuvenated his whole career as well.
He was so fucking good on Celebrity Apprentice.
He was great on Celebrity Apprentice.
I miss that show so much.
Me too. I miss the person who ran the show.
I will say, what
great
I will
reality
say,
star
Arnold Schwarzenegger didn't even come half as good as Donald Trump did on those fucking shows. It was not
that
the same.
Arnold Schwarzenegger season was a fucking fever dream.
Yes, 100%.
Snooki. Yeah, get to the chopper. And then they actually would leave in a chopper.
Yeah, get to the chopper now.
Yeah, I'll get to it. I'll get to some episodes from Celebrity Apprentice for sure. I can't not. It's perfect.
Aubrey O'Day and Arsenio Hall got into like screamed at her. Yeah. And she's like, I'm in there getting gangbanged. And I'm like... Yeah. I don't think you know what that means.
Yeah.
I think she knows what that means. I think Aubrey O'Day knows what that means. But no, if this did happen, this whole plane situation, that is fucking wild. That is crazy. But I guess Otis showed a picture to Bret of Lacey, who at the time would have been 25-ish. And apparently Bret said, she's pretty. Can I date her? And Otis said, oh, no, she's way too young for you.
Yeah.
But Ba-dum-tsh.
Just wait six years.
And like 25, not that bad. But also, like, why were you showing a picture of her in the first place? You know,
my daughter, she's a musician, too.
Yeah, just I mean, he's definitely that type of dude who will just tell you everything about himself without you asking.
Very, very showy.
Mm-hmm.
As far as talking about his money. And everything like that. Does he realize he's talking to Bret Michaels, Poison? He's talking about prenups?
Right.
You know.
Or like moving in or like mooching off his money as if like, Bret needs any money.
Like you were just flown out here to on it for a TV show. There's some money around. I mean, I don't think it's like, you know, it's not like it's a cable access show. I mean, it's you know. Mm-hmm. But he was just like, you know. I don't know. I didn't like him from the get-go. He takes things too seriously. I don't think he gets any jokes. I don't think he has a sense of humor.
Yeah.
And he's a stuffy man.
Mm-hmm. Bret tells everyone that he's going to be going on outings with the parents. He's going to take them in groups of three, I guess. And he starts with Heather's parents. And they get in the old Hummer limo and drive to the Saddle Ranch on Sunset Boulevard. I have been here. I have ridden this bull. I would do it again.
It looks like a fun place.
It was. Yeah, it wasn't very busy when I went. It was like, it was as busy in there as I think Hogan's hangout was for Justine when she went there.
Okay.
There's like six people.
I've never ridden a mechanical bull. And now that I'm sober, I don't think I would. And not for the fact that I would be too like embarrassed, because it does seem like fun. But just like how it whips you around and like the way Heather fell off of it looked very painful. And I just feel like that would hurt if you weren't drunk.
It's gonna hurt. First of all, I got a bad back. I got a bad knee.
Yeah,
hold my back around like that? Are you kidding me? I'll be like, my back will be out for 3 weeks after that. Are you kidding me? I slept wrong the other night. My back was out for a week.
I would 100% do it again, but you're right. I mean, I think if you were to land and maybe we're getting up wrong and like the fucking bull hits you in the back of the head, I think you could get a serious injury.
Yeah, it's dangerous. Yeah.
We're really fun. We're a really fun group.
Yeah, we're the funnest group in the whole world.
They sit down at a table and they put a huge beer bong right in the middle, which I love this. I've never experienced this.
No?
Oh, really? This bowling alley I used to go to like way back in the day had these.
Yeah, I used to go to a bar in the town I grew up in. It used to be called Effing Groovin. And they used to have these beer bongs, bowls, whatever, and it was $40 for the whole thing. And
it's
cheap. Yeah,
it was awesome. It was awesome.
That's why we would get it, because it was like way cheaper to just get that and get drunk.
Keep buying rounds of
cheap
drinks.
Draft beer than to,
I mean, I've definitely done a beer bong and I've done keg stands. I've just never had it presented to me in such a formal manner.
I've never done a keg stand. I'm never going to get to do a keg stand.
Don't say that.
We'll get a Diet Coke and we'll lift you up.
Oh, God. Can you imagine the gas? I would be burping for 2 weeks after.
It'd be worth it, though.
I'm such a burpy person already. It's just.
Me too. I love it. My brother hates it. He's like, whoa, that sound coming out of you. I'm like, I'm burping. I have acid reflux. What am I going to tell you? sometimes, like, because my, I have acid reflux, and sometimes, like, it feels so good. It, like, releases so much pressure in my stomach. It's like, oh, I was like, oh my God, that's awesome. Mm-hmm. Everyone's like, oh, the sound you're making. I'm like, you burp all the time, animal.
Uh huh.
It's me. It's always me. Black sheep. That's what it is.
Black sheep.
Yeah.
No, black sheep. It's because you eat gluten.
I eat gluten all the time. I'll never go and get one of those tests because I'm not going to have someone tell me I can't eat gluten. Because
I'll just die.
I'm not a separated. So it's I'm not buying things that don't have gluten.
So they sit down and, I mean, they're all hitting it off good. They're drinking. Brett pours a glass of beer for Heather's mom. And she's like, I don't drink that, babe. And then I rewound this like 5 times. I was trying to figure out what the fucking backstory was of this. So after she says she doesn't want the beer, Brett makes a joke under his breath. And this makes Heather's mom look over at David and be like, tell him about the Chinese that was texting you.
Don't drink that, baby. It's
just a screwdriver. Yeah. Right.
Tell him the story about the Chinese that was next to you.
Oh, so I kind of, well, first she said screwdrivers. Heather said screwdrivers. Like, give her a screwdriver.
Yeah.
And I don't know what it was, but she said that. She's like, yeah, tell me the Chinese. Then it turned into a story about they were on like a plane or something. Was it?
No, like they were at a football game.
Over a football game. Okay. I didn't understand a word he was saying.
And so
like, usually MTV and VH1 are very good about putting up captions.
Uh huh.
They needed captions for this guy. I couldn't understand a word this guy was saying.
The audio people were probably sitting there trying to figure it out, and even they couldn't figure it out. So they're like, fuck it, we'll just leave this one.
Exactly. He sounded like the guy from The Waterboy, Farmer Frank.
Yes.
They would laugh. I'm like, what the fuck did he just say?
Sean's dad from Boy Meets World. That's who that guy is. No, because like I have questions. First of all, why did she need to point out the fact this guy is Chinese? Comes off incredibly racist. And then
that's what you did in 2006.
That's what she did in 2006. But also, like, how does that contribute to the story? Because, like, if this went a different avenue, even of like maybe they were at a Chinese restaurant or something, but it's like, no, we were at a football game and there was a guy around us that smelled like shit. So it was like that.
I feel like a lot of white people do this without even realizing it. Like, I've heard my friends do this where they're like, oh, one time there was this black guy and this black guy. And then they'll tell the story and they'll be like, why did you have to mention that he was black? It had nothing to do with the story, you know?
Yeah, not great. But then I was trying to rewind it because I'm like, did Brett make a racist joke like under his breath? And that's what kind of started it. And that wouldn't fucking shock me, you know? But no, I couldn't figure it out, but I had questions. Brett tells Heather he wants her to get on the mechanical bull. She's totally game. She gets up there. Her tatters are shaking everywhere. And Brett's like catcalling her right next to her parents. He's like, give me some shimmy shake up there. Yeah. And her dad's like, yeah, Heather. He is like that. And he's getting, because he's drinking, he's getting like progressively more red throughout the episode.
Oh, he's like bright red. He's like a Christmas ornament.
Exactly. And that's like the first thing he tells Brett about himself too, is that he's like, oh yeah, I fucking drink all the time.
I was actually, I would hang out with that guy. That's how much fun he was.
Oh, he seems like a great time. I mean, he's no longer with us anymore. I'm sorry to tell you.
Really?
But, yeah.
I don't know. I'm sad now.
I mean, this was a long time ago.
Well, when did he pass?
And up? I mean, 2018?
Wow, 11 years after that. That's crazy.
I mean, are you really that surprised? And yeah. I'm not like trying to talk shit, but like this guy is a walking like failure.
You know, I watched him. You know, I bonded with the guy over the television. And now he's dead.
Is that how he died? Or you don't know?
I think so. I don't remember. Heather talked about it at one point, but I don't remember. But she was there for the whole thing. It was very traumatic. I wish I knew. Yeah, I don't know about her mom. I don't know. I couldn't find it. So this date ends. Brett goes off to meet up with Jess's parents, and he's going to get them rocked out at Rock and Roll Religion.
Yeah.
I felt so bad for her.
They just played dress up.
This is the worst date.
Mm-hmm.
And this wasn't fun.
No. And like, I think they did the mom dirty. Brett puts them in like button up shirts and bandanas and makes them do the rock on. And I'm like, why aren't you like hotting up the mom?
Why is the mom Melissa McCarthy in Bridesmaids?
Yeah. But she didn't have to be.
No, she didn't have to be.
I mean, she's got those big cans, which we've already established. Yeah. I think they could have put her in like a leather, not like a corset, but like a leather vest, something, show a little boobage, something. But they like dress her up like a dude.
Maybe she wasn't comfortable in other things. I mean, you gotta remember this editing going on. You just seeing like, you know, she probably was like, I'm not wearing that.
She did seem very conservative, I'll give you that. But I wish that maybe this would have opened up something new for her. Maybe like rediscover her sexuality. I don't know. I just felt like she got done dirty here.
Love how the worker at the store, how they introduced her as a fashion expert.
Like, oh, the clerk?
Why don't you just say sales associate?
Yeah.
Oh, she called the application. She was available these times. Now she's a fashion expert.
Maybe she knew someone on the crew or something. Also, more 2000s fun stuff here. When they put, I think they put a purple bandana on the mom and then a baseball cap on top. And Brett from across the room goes, oh, now she's a gangbanger.
Yeah.
Jesus.
That was, I guess, movie time. That's what they said. You know, like the movies and stuff back then. That's how they used to dress people up that were in gangs. Always the bandana and hat.
Mm-hmm.
So gang colors and the hat.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Finally, I mean, I'm not one to judge or talk. I genuinely enjoy the movie White Chicks. So I think that kind of just knocks me into a certain category of person.
It's okay to laugh at things. I mean, that's the problem with today. No one wants to laugh at anything. It's okay to make fun of people.
True.
Satire is funny, and it's okay to exaggerate things and, you know, in the name of fun and entertainment. It's okay.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
I
rewatched a George Carlin stand-up the other night, the one from Madison Square Garden.
And he's a prophet.
And, oh my God, everything he said is current. It's insane.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolute genius.
So good. Finally, Brett meets up with Lacey and company for dinner at Eat, all capital letters. And they have some beers. And then this is where Otis starts to question Brett on literally everything.
Yeah. Cheers.
Nice meeting you.
I went to lunch with the impression that I would be able to ask a lot of questions about Lacey and her relationship and everything.
Other than the fact of your fame and your fortune, what do you have to offer a woman?
I'm a pretty easygoing guy. I'm fun to hang out with.
How do you want to end your days?
I haven't thought quite that far ahead of it. However, it turned quite the opposite on me as her father took over the conversation, and it was like the Spanish Inquisition.
You're not going to call me dad, are you?
No.
How do you stay thin like that? Do you play golf? Are you from Oklahoma? Sorry, are your parents still alive?
I immediately was on the defense. I mean, I was like a boxer trapped in the corner. Is there some kind of hot sauce on those fries, or is it just my tongue that's on fire?
I think it's all the lies you're telling.
I'm like, I'm not telling no lies. I'm asking you, is the fucking sauce burning in one's mouth but mine? Well, I haven't even got to lie yet because I haven't got to fucking get a word in edgewise, to be honest with you.
Yeah, can I ask you another?
Sure. Follow-up?
Do you have hair underneath that hat?
I knew
yeah.
You did.
What in the fuck is up with Lacey's dad?
Couldn't believe that he had the balls to say it, but I mean.
And he laughed when he said it. It was kind of like condescending when he said it, too, which is, he's being very rude, I think.
I mean. Otis doesn't want to talk about hair. He has like three strands of hair in front.
He's like, I like that nice clothes. I'm like, you're wearing a Hawaiian shirt, dude. Relax.
Did you guys notice John Cena's huge bald spot at WrestleMania?
Yeah.
And he kept going like this and pushing his hair back. It's like,
when he turned sideways.
Dude,
he
had a shaved head in when he was in WWE. Like,
he should just shave it.
Just shave. He probably like needs it for a role or something, I'm assuming. But like, he looks good without hair. Just shave it.
Mm-hmm. Well, most of the movies he's in, you know, his hair is a certain way. I mean, you watch Ricky Sinicky?
So good.
I loved it.
Hilarious. I love it.
John Cena is fucking hilarious.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Him in Trainwreck is forever one of my favorite movies, like ever, just because of him.
Keith Robinson, him going back and forth. That was hilarious.
You know what I do with assholes? I lick them. That's gay. Yeah.
And Mark Wahlberg.
I just don't think he looks good as a brunette either. I don't know. I feel like he should
John
be a blonde.
Cena?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
His hair.
I don't know. I think he should
and
just shave it too.
And you can also tell he's like not roiding it up as much anymore. So his body looks different too. He just looks so different.
Not everybody at 45 can have a head of hair like this.
I mean, nothing truer has been said.
Honestly, that's my thing with men and hair. It's like, if you have nice hair, whatever, rock it. But if you're starting to go bald, if you're like Adam Lind from Teen Mom, not the baseball player Adam Lind, and you have like the insane receding hairline, it's like, just shave it. Yeah. I promise you, girls will think you look better.
My best friend, he started losing his hair in his 20s. Sucks. Shaved his head. I mean, I think he looks better with a shaved head than whatever hair he had, you know.
And like trying to hold on to the hair. It's like, just let it go.
Hold on to the hair. Hold on to the memory.
Everyone's going to age. It is what it is. Like, he still looks amazing. Like, John Cena looks so good.
I wish I had that non-roided out body. I have the hair instead. That's what I got. This is it. From here down, it's all downhill.
And then people were talking about The Rock online. They were like, oh, he definitely got work done for this. And it's like, who the fuck cares?
Has anybody like been watching The Rock, though, like in his movies? He looks like he does in the movies. Like, they talk about work done.
That's kind of okay, what I said.
The Rock has like Hollywood steroids, like those Marvel steroids. You know what I mean? Hollywood obviously has some sort of elite roid that they give their actors, how they can like transform so fast. And also, The Rock works out 4 times a day.
Yeah. And,
yeah.
I mean, even when Stallone did Rocky Balboa, he was like 65. And if you look at, he took steroids then and he got like, he was bigger in that movie than any other Rambo or Rocky movie before. Yeah. There's definitely Hollywood steroid. I agree with you on that. There's definitely a Hollywood steroid that no one knows about. You can only get if you have a SAG card. And be in a big Hollywood movie. I 100% agree with
you. Did you guys see that video of Lenny Kravitz at the gym? He's wearing like leather pants and boots, like Damian Priest style. He had the bar. I didn't know how much weight was on it, but he was doing sit-ups and then like a press. You have to watch this video. It's fucking ridiculous.
Not as ridiculous as Brett working out later, though. Don't get ahead of yourself.
The same thing.
It's the best.
The same equal amount of ridiculousness.
It's so good. Anthony, the last episode of Celebrity Rehab I did, Chyna blatantly refused and was like shutting down Dr. Drew, alluding to her using steroids in her life.
I mean, I mean, it's just that time. I mean, listen, they're all doing it. Triple H did it. Cena did, people talk about Cena doing it all the time too. Like, you know, these, that's,
it's another thing, as with Hollywood in the wrestling community, steroids are going around like nothing.
I mean,
they have their own too.
Yeah. I mean, you deny it all you want. I would be honest about this stuff, being like, listen, this is, it sucked. I did it. It was just part of the culture.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, like Triple H, why does he have a, you know, heart failure at a certain age? Because you can't mess with that. It's bad for your body. It's not mm-hmm. good.
Batista, when he came back for WrestleMania, however many years ago that was now, he had like the saggy kind of pecs that happen yeah. when you come off steroids, because your body's trying to like produce estrogen. So you kind of get like tits. Well, he stopped doing the wrestling steroids when he went to Hollywood.
Yeah. Do you remember during the Attitude Era, The Rock, when he was used to wear the like the tracksuit, like mm-hmm. he wore like a shirt? It's because he had surgery to remove yeah. his man boobs.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, he had a problem with it, and he had that's why he would wear that, because he had surgery, and so until like everything healed, that's why he wore that shirt.
It looks good. I mean, when he took off his clothes for the match on Saturday, it was like just staring at him for like 10 minutes straight. Like, it was insane.
It's insane. It is insane. Absolutely insane.
He went into my friend's work. She works at an escape room in LA. He was in there with his family to do an escape room. And then as they were about to leave, his mom looked at, I think it was my friend's coworker, and was like, "You want a picture with him, right?" They didn't ask. She was just like, "Of course you want a picture with my son, correct?" It's like, yeah, I do.
Yeah, of course. I would have. That's so nice that his mom said that, because like she's probably like sees like the face of, like, "Oh my God, it's him. It's like, just break the ice. Hey, take a picture with him.
Well, and how proud she has to be. This is my yeah. baby boy.
Very good to his mother. Very good to his mother. Yeah.
So Brett's Otis is interrogating Brett. Brett does not like this. You know, at one point he's like, "Is it getting hot in here? Is it just me?" And Otis asks if him and Lacey get married, if he's planning on signing a prenup, because that's a definite. He has to.
Yeah.
Otis has a lot of money, and Lacey has her own money. He's like, she is one of the few women in the world that has her own money, which is like, first of all, bold statement, but also like, is it her money? It's your money, no?
Yeah, I mean, it also at that time too, like, how do you say that? Like, she's one of the few women in the world that has her own money. You know, how about every woman who works has her own money?
Yeah, technically, yeah.
Idiot.
Yeah. So this dinner does not go well. And Lacey, I was noticing throughout this whole episode, I want to say she's afraid of her dad, but there's something going on where she doesn't want to speak around him too much. Like, she just wants to keep things as chill as possible. I don't know if maybe she's concerned because he does have all this money, and she knows that, you know, maybe he has a trust fund for her, yada, yada. So she's worrying about rocking the boat. I feel like she was trying to like hush him up as much as possible. And then of course, yeah, Karen, the wife, she doesn't talk either. So it's just a weird vibe. There's probably shit that went down in that family.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Back at the house, Brett is starting to question Lacey. Like, maybe she's not the girl I knew she was. She's just been telling me that she's a starving musician. And here I come to find out from her dad, she's really wealthy. She plays the stock market. And she's like a presidential scholar. So I really need to keep my eye on her. And Lacey goes to show her parents the bedroom, and while they're in there, Heather walks in topless, looking fire, may I add.
Did she walk in there topless, or was she, you know, getting dressed and out of the shower?
Right. That one. Yeah. She like had she had something over her tits. Like, she was holding a shirt over her tits or something, and she had underwear on, a thong. And then she walks in and goes, "Oh, well, all my shit's all over the place in here. But yeah, I guess it's okay. You brought him in our room." And she's trying to get changed. And while this is happening, Lacey's dad is definitely eyeing her up. And it makes her uncomfortable.
Laying on the bed, his hands behind his head, and he's like staring at her.
Were both hands behind his head, or was one hand?
I don't know. I just remember like the hand behind the head.
If you look, though, the way he's laying on the bed, there's a poster of Brett right behind him, and his head is perfectly on Brett's dick. It's awesome.
It's like his daughter.
Lacey pulls her parents downstairs after the show's over. Like, after Heather gets to Rush, she's finally like, guys, maybe we should go downstairs.
After Otis finished, they went downstairs. Otis everywhere.
He'd probably tell you that he comes money.
Yeah. I owed it all over your bed, Lacey. I'm sorry.
No! So she tells them, like, because they're like, God, does Heather act like this all the time? And she's like, yeah, no, usually she's pretty cool. But I mean, she is a stripper. I wasn't going to say anything. But so they're like, oh, my God, stripper. Heather's starting to overhear everything happen. And then Lacey makes a joking comment about Heather, doing some moves on the stripper pole, which was kind of cunty. And Heather decides to take this opportunity to fill her parents in on everything that's going on, to get ahead of Lacey, because she thinks Lacey's going to turn on her here.
I like this. This was like the whole, like, you know, she said, we did this, we did that, we faked an orgasm. And if I was like, get her done. Yeah. Right, let's do it. Let's go.
They don't seem fazed at all. Like, yeah, they're both just like, okay, right on. Good for you. Like, did you win?
Yeah. Did you win yet?
And Heather's like, you know, telling him, like, basically, fuck these girls. Like, it is just me now. I got to do what I got to do. And Heather's mom just is like nodding. She's like, yeah, fuck those bitches. Do you want help? Big John invites everyone down to dinner. Brett's prepared a nice meal for everyone to eat together. They sit down and it's just crickets. Nothing's happening. And I like what Lacey says. Oh, yeah, it's just so strange. We have these three families here and we're all from completely different backgrounds. And it's like, really? Are you all just not like middle to middle upper class white people?
It all seems like, yeah, white suburbia from different parts of the country, I guess. You have Florida, you have this. But I mean, you're all like, and all the kids turned out the same, basically, all like, you know, into Brett Michaels on the same show. So we're not really too much different backgrounds. We kind of live in the same kind of life here.
Right. I think we've got Texas, Florida, and think Chicago.
Chicago.
Well, yeah, that's where I think Jess is from. So yeah, three completely different backgrounds.
I was going to say, she's definitely Midwest. The accent.
Sure. I mean, the parents scream Midwest.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Like, definitely, like, you know.
Another thing I wanted to mention about Lacey, she comes off to me as an escort. Like, Heather seems like... Heather's a stripper, she admits it, but Heather seems like a stripper who, like, literally just strips, like, goes to work, makes her money, comes home. But Lacey comes off to me as the type of girl who, like, fucks dudes for money on the low and, like, acts like they don't. I was, like, getting those vibes from her.
I never thought of that until
it
makes a lot of sense how you said that. Like, just the way Heather talks about what she does for a living, it's like, guess what I do? I make money. Mm-hmm. And she said, like, her school bag, she's educated. She's well educated, you know, but she's making probably more money doing this. And she's like, I'm just making my money. And she doesn't. Yes, you're right. She doesn't come off like, you know, someone who's like, you know, a escort or anything like that. And now they mentioned Lacey definitely has that kind of vibe. I never thought about that. Wow.
I don't get it. I still don't. And I'm not just saying that because whatever, but I don't see where that's coming from.
And I'm not saying there's, like, anything wrong with escorts because, like, whatever, but she has some sort of, like, energy to her that I feel. I can just sense it.
My grandfather would call her a tomato. That's what he would call it. Yeah.
I don't know. She just oozes only child energy. And I'm saying that as someone who oozes the same energy. That's all I really get from her.
Yeah.
You know, like, she's always been told, like, you're the best, you're the golden child, you're good at everything, there's nothing you can't accomplish. I mean,
that's wrong to tell kids that. You're gonna find out you can't accomplish anything.
You can be anything. My kid wants to be a doctor right now. My 3-year-old wants to be a doctor.
Do it
so I can fucking retire early.
You know,
absolutely.
With that kind of thing, what stops people from being a doctor is actually going through the steps of going to be a doctor and realizing that it's school until you're 30.
I avoided a major because I knew I was going to have to take a bunch of chemistry. And I was like, nope.
Mm-mm. Yeah. My goddaughter wants to be a doctor and she's going through the steps of it. And she's all for it, but it's a lot. It's a long, long, long road ahead.
Yeah. And shitty hours.
And then also, you're like, broke for the rest of your life because you're like paying off an insane amount of student debt. Like, I understand doctors make an insane amount of money as well, but Cardi B like said that in an interview before. She's like, the world, if the world has like such a shortage on doctors, then like, why are we making people pay for school like that? And it's so true.
Oh, that's such a good point.
Well, it's an expensive training. You're now, you know, is now you're going to, I mean, the thing of that is now somebody teaching or an institution educating, do they work for free?
No. And they shouldn't.
But how do you pay the professors?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Money from. I was just saying. Like,
shoulder shrug emoji.
Everything's free, but like, you know, one hand's got to wash the other in a certain way.
Absolutely.
That's just me being like an old man. Like, that's a kid. You want something, you got to pay for it. You know? Back in the day when I was, you know, young. And-
Pull yourself up by your bootstraps, kid.
Yeah, you know, if you want to be a fucking doctor, then you got to pay for it, goddammit. Get yourself a practice and some patience, and you pay your bills off. Like, it's-
take it from a comedian. You got to fucking work.
You know somebody who's accomplished nothing in his life, how to accomplish things in life.
Those who can't do.
That's it. I'm an observer by nature. As a comedian, I'm an observer by nature.
Absolutely.
Like, yeah.
I don't know. It's tough. I don't think, because I think educators should make a shit ton of money. Like, all of it. Yeah, you know? But then
you have to pay these educators.
Absolutely.
Listen, that's the whole thing. I don't, but I think not everybody's meant to go to college.
No.
I'm not saying that in a bad way. Because if you notice, the numbers of people going to have trades is down severely. Mechanics, technicians, these people that, like, you know, you can make a very good living. Like, I work at a generator company. And if anybody out there looking for a trade, go be a generator mechanic. Because if you know your shit, you will make a ton of money because there's not a lot of you out there. Like, these kind of trades are, like, falling by the wayside now because everybody's going to college. I'm not saying college is a bad thing, but not everybody's meant to go to college. I wasn't meant to go to college. I should have went and got a trade. And been that, because I got into college. My mother worked at the university. You know, I went. I did good, but I know that college is not for me. I'm just saying, like, I should have went to a trade school, gotten a trade, worked 35 years somewhere, retired, and you know, that kind of thing.
See, it's so crazy because I think I was meant to be a stripper who only dances to Rob Zombie songs.
Well, now, it's never too late. You can always open that club and have your living dream.
Do you really think dreams can come true?
Yeah. And this, yeah, absolutely. If you dream, fucking do it.
No, for real, though.
A lot of strippers dance to Rob Zombie.
Oh, of course.
What would be the one Rob Zombie song would be like your closer? Like, this would be like the end of the night. Thank you for coming out, everybody.
I can't remember the name of the song right now, but there's a White Zombie song I really like. That would be a lot of fun to dance to. Fuck, I'll have to look it up. But no, I have both a bachelor's degree and I went to trade school, and I work in my trade and I make the most money I've ever made in my life. Which, I mean, I'm also as old as I've ever been in my life.
No, but so, I mean, it's nothing wrong with like having a trade and being like, There's garbage men that hang out at my lounge that make insane.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I'm wrong working for the city or the town or these kind of jobs. I just think there's a lack of it now. But like, yeah, I wish I had a trade. I wish I knew something and I can go apply it, you know, make a lot of money, and, you know, not have to sometimes buy frozen vegetables from the Dollar Tree. Mm-hmm. And just kidding.
Provide for yourself. You know?
Not everyone has Otis. We don't have, you know, not everybody's got an Otis.
Not everyone is.
Speaking of trades, have you seen or heard of the new show, The Trades, with Ricky from Trailer Park Boys?
No.
Oh.
Mm-mm.
Oh.
Cool.
Well, it's a new show called
okay,
The Trades.
I'll look it up.
And Ricky from Trailer Park Boys is the star, and Tom Green's in it as well.
Oh, Tom Green. I love Tom Green.
Obviously, it's a Canadian show, and it's about these guys who are like welders, I think. I don't know. Blair watched it, and I just like was reading while he was watching it, so I wasn't really paying attention. But I don't know. It seems kind of funny.
Sounds like something we would watch. My husband is literally like, he's a blue collar guy.
Yeah.
So he's doing that type of shit. So I'm sure he'd be down to watch it too.
I would watch anything Tom Green's in because I think he's hilarious. And that Tom Green show back in the day was my jam.
Was he in that movie we were supposed to recap, Justine? Or am I making
probably,
that up?
Okay. But I watched the trailer today and I was like, this movie looks so fucking bad.
Movie.
It's called High Hopes. And it's like a straight to DVD movie with like Danny Trejo, Edward Furlong, Jason Mewes, Gretchen Wieners from Mean Girls. Like it has like an all star cast, but just go on YouTube and watch the trailer. It looks god awful. It came out in 2006.
Okay. Because the movie that he was in that was absolutely hilarious was Freddy Got Fingered. That movie still.
I've never seen it.
Classic. You've never seen Freddy Got Fingered? Okay. Oh, I thought it was funny. Like when it came out when I was a little kid, but I tried rewatching it recently and like I can't do it.
I haven't matured since I was 7. So yes, that's still very funny. I love that. I could watch it. I watched it recently, probably not recently, like last year. And I think I laughed just as hard, if not harder, than when I saw it in the theater when it first came out.
I love moments like that when you like kind of forgot about a movie and you revisit it and you're like, you kind of just get those feelings again, you know? See how you feel when we do the Sopranos episode. We'll see if that gets the creative juices flowing, the Otis juice.
Otis juices.
So Lacey and Otis decide to, you know, get the conversation going at the dinner table. And they're asking for Jess and Heather's backstory. And yeah, Heather's like, yeah, got a couple degrees. And Lacey's like, what are your degrees in? Heather, what are they? I think she said communications and something.
Yeah, she had some legit degrees. And like, you know, then Lacey was like, what do you say? Yeah. Bam. But I'm like, Lacey.
Well, I think Heather at one point had mentioned something about like paying off her student loans. That's probably why she's dancing. I think she said she gave her a cutoff of 32 or 33 and then she was going to get out. And they're all like, yeah, right. Which it's like, if I looked like Heather, I'd be like, I'm riding this until the wheels fall off, you know?
It's not, I mean, listen, she's making money. She's not hurting anybody. Doing a thing.
Quite the opposite.
I like how she kind of breaks the stigma around that. Like, she went to school, her dad, she's very close with her dad.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one thing that people, I don't know if they don't know or don't think about, but a lot of strippers, like, have college degrees. I had bitches that I worked with who were high school teachers and they would dance on weekends for like extra money because once again, teaching doesn't pay very well. And yeah, lots of girls do it because they start it to pay their way through school. And then they just realize that they're making so much money. Giving up cash money like that every night is the hardest thing to do.
I'm sure. I believe it.
I've never had that luxury.
Have you worked in a situation where you get tips, though? I guess you probably do with rideshare.
Yeah, if they tip. I mean,
that would be hard to say goodbye to, right?
Yes and no. I mean, I enjoy it, but a lot of people don't tip with rideshare, which is crazy to me.
I always do.
Yeah, I mean, I tip everything, but I did last two weekends ago, I drove for almost 5 hours. I did 9 rides, no tips.
What?
Is it a New York thing?
I always factor the tip into the cost of the ride.
Nobody tipped me. That one person tipped. You know, then it just gives you like a... I drove like one night after work, and it was just basically railroad runs, like, you know, from the you know, I was going back and forth, which aren't expensive rides. And people would tip like $5 on those. So, I mean, it's just, it's different mentality, I guess, for people. I don't know.
I do believe that tips should be appreciated and not expected, but I still think that's fucking ridiculous. That is obnoxious, Anthony. What are you doing? What are you doing to him? Are you burping?
No, I'm a 5-star rated, right? I have 5 stars.
Now I understand why some Uber drivers have like a little cooler with like waters and like gums and stuff. Like when I was dancing, I was Ubering to work every day because I was a fucking drunk. And I loved those Ubers. Like, oh, you want a pack of gum for work today? Like, yeah, thanks. Extra tip for you. But still tip anyways.
Yeah.
It's like you get into an Uber and it's like the Spice World bus. Like from the outside, it just looks like a car and you get in and it's like a double decker bus. I believe you. Oh my Anthony's God. You don't have any bad scores.
No. 5 stars.
I believe that about you, but that's just obnoxious. There's not even a bad review being like, he just always, I've had this guy twice and he just still is talking about 90210.
No, I don't talk unless they want to talk.
Love that.
I have music on. I have a mix of on Spotify. It's a Pandora. It's Tom Petty Radio.
Oh, I have a question.
Yeah.
Would you let someone play their own music? Like yeah. if I came in, I want not me, but like if I was a random to you and I wanted to hook up my Bluetooth, would you let me or would you say no?
No, I'd let you play your own music.
Okay, because I was always that annoying drunk bitch that sat in the front seat and was like blasting my music.
If you knew how to do it, like I'm not like, you know, taking time now from driving to hook up your phone. If I give you the thing and you set it up.
Yeah.
Like a guy wanted me to like pull over one day and like figure out, like, I'm not doing this. I'm like, I'm sorry. Listen to the music. It's a great mix. It's Tom Petty Radio, 90s rock radio and Bouncing Souls Radio. It's got something for everybody. Oh, and I got Motown Radio in there too. Sometimes. So, I mean, come on. For everybody.
I would choose the Bouncing Souls Radio, I think.
No, it's shuffles. It shuffles. Oh, okay. All four of those, all my stations just shuffle. So.
Oh, together. Okay, I see. So I thought you meant like you give the passengers the option.
When I start driving, I just put it on, I hit shuffle. And then, you know, the music comes on and it's a nice mix. And it's nice, you know, sometimes you get a little punk rock, little Depeche Mode. Yeah. That's what I'm talking about. Right?
Don't even. Old school Depeche Mode. So much.
Yeah.
If they come here again, I'm spending all of my savings to go. I've never seen them. So Heather's starting to get heated about being interrogated by Lacey and her dad. So she makes a comment to Lacey being like, "Oh, Lacey, you sure you should be drinking tonight? Did you tell your dad that you knocked over 40 bottles at the hotel?" And Brett just laughs. He's sitting there and he's like, "Yeah, you did do that. That was hilarious." And Lacey's like, "Oh, fuck. I'm going to get a bill from the hotel. Like, I don't know. It wasn't that bad, Dad." And Heather's like, "Well, I mean, Lacey, you also were streaking around the house and yada, yada."
"Well, it was a thing. And, you know, it was, you know, no big deal."
"Yeah, I was sober when I did that." Like trying to cover it up, keep Heather down. But Heather's on a mission now to fuck Lacey's life up. And this is where her stepmom, Karen, pulls her aside and kind of is like, "Hey, like, are you noticing that girl's kind of digging at you?" And this is kind of where I started to notice the weird stuff with Lacey, because even with that, she seemed very like she was pretending like she didn't know what was going on. I don't know if like Karen, like when she has a little bit of wine in her, she has a mouth on her or what, but I don't
know. "Karen's like, hey, listen, I can only talk for like 3 minutes because then your father's going to hear me. I don't know what's going on." No, you know what it was? It was like, I think Lacey was getting, you know, because I don't know these characters as well as you guys do, but she was getting beat at her own game.
Yeah.
I feel like she would have done that to somebody at the table, like embarrassed to like bring up stuff and like kind of make them look bad. And that was being like turned around. And I don't think she knew what to do.
Absolutely. And she does do that throughout the season. Absolutely. And on Charm School. I think things get quiet again. And this is where Heather brings up the date from earlier at Saddle Ranch, where she brings up the bull. And Otis is like, "Who would ever go to a restaurant with a mechanical bull?" And they're like, "We did, and it was a good time." And it's like a...
Yeah, normal people. Like, I mean, what does that mean? Because a bull, a mechanical bull, you can't go eat a meal? That's like, come on. That was the most pretentious thing to say.
Yeah.
I didn't like that at all. That was gross.
Right. Like, who would ever go somewhere like that? It's like, well, where are you going? Hey. What banging restaurants are you attending?
I'm like, look at Heather. She was on the mechanical bull. Would you go to the mechanic?
Yeah, I mean, sign me up.
All day. I'm at that place eating chicken.
Like it's your job.
Yeah. Anthony, right. You've been here for 7 hours. I'm like, that mechanical bull, man, just keeps me here.
Makes me happy. Yeah.
Yeah.
I got my seat now. This is where I sit.
I get this order. My seat.
The next day, Brett's stressed out from the happenings of the day before. So he's just out hitting the bag, getting some stress out. Working up a sweat, and he is in a baseball cap with his hair down, chain necklace, black studded jeans that are too long for him, by the way. And like maybe a pair of Adidas. I couldn't tell because the pants were too long.
Hey, he's getting it done, man. He's getting, he's out there. He's punching. He's got the weights. He's got a nice little setup.
I guess that's how rock stars work out, because first him, then Lenny Kravitz the other day. I guess it's just a rock star thing.
I like how his workout area is like the size of like a shower.
Yeah.
No corner. This is my bag and my weights.
It's bigger than my workout area. Yeah. Jess and Alex were telling me when we did the last episode, they think Brett skips leg day. And I was like, I think you're right.
Yeah, rock stars like to have skinny legs.
He always has baggy jeans on. Yeah. You know, so it's hard to tell. Lacey walks out and then she tries to talk to Brett about what happened the night before. She's trying to like shit talk Heather. Mm-hmm. And then we see Heather looking from around the corner, eavesdropping. And she's in a white bikini top, pink camo pants, and pink sunglasses. Looking fantastic. This is a Halloween costume as far as I'm concerned.
Mm-hmm.
So she overhears, and when Heather hears Lacey talking shit about her, she goes down and just approaches her face to face right in front of Brett. Brett's just standing there with his head down, refusing to get involved, which I thought was kind of shitty.
You're a liar.
What did I lie about?
You've lied about everything. You got on my side and you manipulated me like you did everybody else.
Sweetie, I didn't lie.
Don't call me sweetie. You're a fucking liar and a bitch.
Can I tell you what I said?
Your family is going to see exactly who you really are.
Can I tell you what I said?
Why don't you go tell them what kind of a person you are?
This is awesome.
Let me tell you in front of Brett what I said so you understand that I wasn't lying.
That I'm disrespecting my fucking family? No, my family's proud of me. No, don't you say that. Your family's the one that's going to be so embarrassed of you. They don't even know who you are. Because you're such a fucking liar and manipulator.
Okay.
Fuck off.
All right.
Goes inside and starts calling Lacey like a whore and an instigator, whatever. And Brett tells Lacey, like, please just go follow her and go address her. Just get this all figured out, which seems like really shitty advice. This is where the showdown in the foyer happens.
Yes. This was awesome.
Hey, Heather.
What?
Can I talk to you for a second?
Sure. Come on out. All you're going to do is lie and try to manipulate.
No, I don't lie.
I see your true colors now. You're not going to manipulate. You've manipulated me. It hurt my fucking feelings. I saw as soon as your parents got through the door. You're totally different. They don't even know who you are.
My parents have known me for 30 years.
They do not know who you are. When they watch this show, your dad is going to die. You're throwing me under the bus, which you swore to God you would not do. You have ridden my coattails this whole time because you knew. You have too. You'd have been gone a long time ago if it wasn't for me, and you know it.
Heather, I told Brett, I know that you love your parents. That's obvious. You love your parents.
Why are you bringing my parents into anything?
Because
it's not your business.
It is because the way you
it's
are.
It's not.
The way you are with your parents.
It's how I am with Brett. I'm in love with that man. That's all that matters. Don't worry about my parents.
No, but
period. Fuck you, Lacey. You're a fucking. No, you're not going to manipulate.
Emily just bites.
No, because you're the one that always runs your fucking mouth and you're not going to manipulate me. Fuck you.
You should stop drinking for an hour.
Does your dad know that you're the only one that's done all the sexual shit with Brett? You've been sucking his cock every night since
you
came here.
You know that's a lie. The things that were coming out of her mouth, I was just absolutely appalled.
I saw you suck his dick in there.
Heather,
I swear to God, she's a slut.
You're trash.
No, I've not done anything sexual with him whatsoever. Your daughter is a slut.
Trashy. You're being trashy.
No, you're the one that's trashy. With your pompous family, don't know anything about you.
Otis is not like that. I was like, you're trash.
That really triggered him. I mean, Lacey's 31. So she has the right to do whatever the fuck she wants.
But I don't think any father wants to hear that their daughter is a town pump.
Keep in mind, Lacey has went on record and she has said that she asked Brett night one if he had a girlfriend. And he kind of was like, he didn't really give her an answer. So she says she knew from day one this wasn't like for real. So for her to like be playing this hard for someone she knows isn't attainable.
She wants to win.
She wants to win, but also that she's sucking his dick every night.
All right. Well,
yeah.
I mean, wouldn't you if you were there?
No comment.
No, I'm good. Nah, I'm all right.
I'm not saying no. I'm not saying yes either.
I mean, if it's like Flavor Flav, like obviously not. Although I'm sure some girls did. But if it's like, I don't know, if it's a musician or something you're really into, like anyone would.
Mm-hmm.
Or anyone would for anyone for clout, I think.
Oh, my gosh. A few episodes ago, the girl who Brandy, who got eliminated last episode, they were saying how they're like, he's not going to pick her. Like, she's known back home as Blowjob Brandy. You think Brett's going to keep a girl like her around? And I'm like, yes, absolutely.
Yeah, with that nickname, that's exactly who I'm keeping around. Yeah. Oh, you could stay. I just that nickname, by the way.
So the fight calms down. And then, yeah, Otis cannot get over the fact that Heather called her out for sucking his dick this whole time. So as they walk out, he kind of whispers to Lacey, like, I don't remember you saying that you had sucked his dick. Maybe we should talk to him about this, or like something like that. Maybe I should hear this from him. So he walks over to Brett, who's still punching the old bag. Lacey follows, walks up, and he's like, sorry to bother you, big boy.
Sorry to bother you, big boy, but I just had somebody yell at me and Heather that I need to be concerned that my daughter sucked your cock.
Lacey's dad says to me one of the worst things any rock star wants to hear. I need to speak to you about whose cock my daughter's been sucking.
Is this when Brett says, hey, nobody knows who's been sucking whose?
First of all, I want to say that
it's like, yes, Brett, I would hope you would know who's sucking your dick.
No one knows. No one in this house knows.
Like, I kind of hope they would work it on their own. That's why I sent her in there. Like, no, they didn't. World
War III happened. So, yeah, Brett's just like, yeah, you know, like, I don't know whose business it is. And, like, who knows what's really going on behind Brett's doors. And Lacey turns on the waterworks. You know, she's like, you have to draw the line somewhere, Brett. I can't handle this shit anymore. And then they're all getting ready for elimination. And we see them all lined up in the like lobby or whatever the fuck. And I want to know, A, how long they made them stand there, because we've just found out in the last Flavor of Love episode they did. They had to stand there for 3 hours.
Really?
During filming. Yeah. So, but I just love all of their super serious facial expression.
Well, seriously, you're going to stay and rock the world or not?
It would be so hard not to start laughing if like they were like, okay, like all look really serious, you know?
Well, that's why the Flavor of Love girls on night one probably had to be there for 3 hours, because they were all laughing and fucking around. By the last elimination, it's like, we just want to get this shit over with. Let's all take the producers seriously.
Brett walks out in his snakeskin cowboy hat, red bandana, black suit jacket. Not my favorite look, but whatever. And then he says goodbye to the parents. They had to get dressed up, go wait to film, stand there just to leave.
Yeah, just like, oh, get out of here now. Otis with your nice clothes on.
I did love earlier when the fight was going down and Jess's dad asked David, like, oh, does Heather get her temper from you? And he's like, yes, sir.
Yes, sir. giving me what I got down.
So it's just the girls now. Heather's in all white because she knew she had to look appear virginal after everything that went on today. But she is rocking some Euphoria rhinestones on her eyes, which I thought was a nice touch. And Lacey and Jess are in like identical black dresses. Brett gives Jess the first pass. And now it's just down to Lacey and Heather, the best friends from the start. And he tells us, this is extra difficult because I know you guys have a really strong friendship. He tells Heather the thing about her he loves the most is that she really shows commitment, especially by getting the tattoo that she has on the back of her neck. She has Brett tattooed on the back of her neck. She got it. She literally got it done a week before this.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Brett on the back of her neck. And it was her first tattoo.
You still have it?
She covered it with a cross.
Okay.
You know I have a Rock of Love tattoo on the back of my neck, right?
No, I didn't know that.
I do. For this.
Okay.
It's not Brett. I'm married. I don't think he would like that.
I mean, I can't. I have a 90210 tattoo. It's right over there. So.
See? Same energy.
Yeah. All my weird things.
When I showed it to one of the girls who was on this season, she was like trying to, I showed it to her and she's like, well, I mean, you could always just say that it's like just like a heart or a cool design. I'm like, no, I don't care. If people know. Someone who was on the show is like, oh, don't worry. You can go. I'm like, no, I don't care if people think I'm stupid. Mug. Yes.
Yeah.
I love it.
My weird tattoo.
I'll get a tattoo of anything. I don't fucking care.
Yeah.
He invites Lacey down and when he tells her what he likes about her, it's basically like he went from like, Heather, I really like you because you got a tattoo of my name. Lacey, I like you because you're actually smart and wouldn't do something like that. And he tells her, while he feels a strong connection, he thinks just the side of her that he can't stand is eventually going to get in the way of their relationship.
Go to his side.
Yeah. So Lacey, your tour ends here. Yeah. So she leaves and she's very shocked. When her parents left earlier, she had whispered to them, like, oh, I'm going to call you later with the good news. No such luck. Lacey hopes they both lose, quite frankly, which is kind of what happened, because we got a season two and season three. So,
yeah, I guess. So is it the next one, the finale?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think there's like an Unseen Moments episode next and then the finale. Yeah. Okay. Who do you think wins? Do you know who wins?
Jess?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you told me about that already. It makes
okay.
sense.
Okay. Yeah, we're down to Heather and Jess. But wait, there's more.
There's more.
He is taking them to Cabo St. Lucas.
Ooh,
for the finale.
That's yes. where you gotta go for finale.
Ole! Yeah. That's a good episode, too. Yeah.
Maybe I'll watch it.
It's fun. There's some good back and forth between Heather and Jess, like, post-coital. Like, one of the girls gets back, like, literally from banging Brett, and they're, like, having breakfast together. And she's like, I can smell you on him. Smell him on you, I mean.
Really?
Yeah. It's good. Wrap it. It's one more episode. Just watch it, you know? Well, yeah, Lacey, if you want to give an update, I'll give an update on her. She, went on to be on Charm School, of course, doing her same old stuff she always does. She opened a dog rescue for a few years. She's married to a guy whose legal name is Johnny Skulls. So now her name is Lacey Skulls.
Okay.
Still doing the music thing. She goes and sees Brett every time she can. She, of course, has the Talk of Love podcast, which has been a fucking whirlwind. Do you know anything about this, Anthony?
No, I don't, actually.
So when COVID started, she and Heather joined forces and started Talk of Love. Okay. And they did not talk after, because in Charm School, they like have a whole thing too. So they like came back together for this. And I knew from day one, I'm like, this is going to last like 3 months. There's no way these two are going to be able to like go into business together, you know? So yeah, that's what happened. They did the damn thing for like maybe 6 months. And then there was some arguments over money. What do you call it? Like the name. So they had a huge public breakup, and now Lacey just does Talk of Love. But she's doing the damn thing. She's keeping the shit alive. I'll give her that. She's
keeping it going. That's all that matters.
That's right. She's keeping it moving.
She's keeping it forward. Moving it forward. That's all we got to do.
But yeah. Fucking banger of an episode. This whole episode's like a whole quote in itself. So like, we could literally talk about everything they said. You know?
It was awesome. I mean, I like I said, this is the second one I've seen, but this one definitely... at everything you'd want in a reality show.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we're going to do a Sopranos at some point. Do you guys have any other fun episodes coming out you guys want to talk about? Anything just fun you're looking forward to?
That I'm looking forward to?
Yeah.
Hopefully the Islanders making the playoffs. The Knicks clinched. So now I need the Islanders to get in.
That's right on. Show, yeah.
Not like playoff hockey. It's awesome.
I'm going to see Rocky Horror Picture Show on Saturday.
Nice.
My first stage production of it. So I'm very excited for that.
That's going to be a lot of fun. Yeah.
And I'm going to a con at the end of the month, which I'm also very excited for.
What con is that?
Calgary Fan Expo.
Calgary Con. There we go.
There's some insanely big names there.
Like who?
They just announced Lori Metcalf.
Ooh, that's a fun one.
Really?
So random. The entire cast of Scream, like the original Scream. So that's why I'm going, because I love Matthew Lillard. So meeting him. Yeah, so looking forward to that. And then obviously Niagara Falls Comic Con. But podcast wise, just everything I do with you, Erica. I love our Aww, Surreal Shore series. And
stop
I
it.
Can't wait to continue that.
Stop it.
And then, yeah.
I have nothing going on, as you can tell. Nothing.
I feel like you always have things going on, though.
I got a wedding coming up. My cousin's wedding's getting married in a couple weeks. No, I don't have really anything coming up. It's actually nice, though. I like a little calm. It's mm-hmm. nice. It is, I do like this time of year, being a sports fan. When you have a lot of sports, I do like this time. I'm a big sports fan, so the Yankees are back. They beat the Blue Jays, a series.
Recently. Yeah, right on. Interesting.
I've watched all of 2 minutes of baseball so far. Because you know I have like 500 more games I could watch through the season, so I don't really worry.
I just want to talk some trash about the Yankees and Blue Jays, but I can't now. You don't watch it.
Sorry. Later in the season. I am, however, planning to go to Minnesota to see Erica at the end of August when the Blue Jays play the Twins.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there you go.
Mm-hmm.
That should be fun.
We're going to get super baked and go watch some baseball.
That's the way to do it.
Eat some hot dogs, some cotton candy.
It'll be my first baseball game sober, probably not drunk.
It's fun. I've never been drunk at a baseball game. So,
honestly, I'm realizing that I actually like to do stuff because every event before I was always just so worried about when I was getting the next drink instead of like enjoying the moment. And now I'm realizing that I'm like, wow, I wasted so many events like in line for the bar for what, you know?
Hey, man, you're in your early 30s. You're realizing shit. You partied through your 20s. That's what you're fucking supposed to do. You're supposed to be stupid in your 20s.
Seriously, yeah. I mean, think about it. You had your 20s, now you're in your 30s now.
Yeah.
That's true.
It'll be okay. But you're kicking ass and I'm proud of you. Keep doing
Thank you.
Absolutely. I don't tell you enough. Yes. Thank you. Good for you. It's difficult.
Absolutely. Listen, anytime when there's, that's the thing like people don't understand. Like anytime there's, you know, especially with like the drinking and eating and stuff like, especially because it's everywhere. I mean, and it's offered to you all. It's like people are like, hey, you want some crack? You want some heroin? It's like you walk in someone's house like, hey, I got this nice heroin. I got it in Napa Valley. It's like, you know, people offer you a drink. They all, you know, so it's like, it's tough to turn it down. And like, you know, and then I don't know, like, actually, I'm not a drinker. I never really was. And I even feel the need, like people ask me, like, you know, why don't you drink? I had to have like this whole like backstory. It's like, because people want to, it's so, I understand like, you know, how difficult it can be, and but you're doing awesome and just keep kicking ass and doing what you're
mm-hmm.
doing.
Thank
that
you.
Made any sense.
What is it you said, Anthony? It's, no, I already do enough things that make my heart almost explode.
Yes. Yeah, so people ask me, well, have I ever did cocaine before? And I said, no, I do enough things already. That make my heart almost explode. So that actually, I used that line for something else. I had this technician that worked with us. He came in one day. He said, hey, you play video games? I'm like, nah. And he's like, how come? I go, I already do have things that don't get me laid. I'm not going to add you. So, wrestling and the 90210 and this, everything else I do. It's, yeah.
Well, after this, we're going to watch the challenge All-Stars 4.
Okay.
Came out today, which I'm super excited for. They filmed it like a year and a half ago, and it took forever to come out. So I'm super stoked about that. And then I'm going to be. What's that?
I don't even know who's on those anymore.
Well, it's the older people. It's not like they're all like, well, no, that would be really cool. He did host a reunion a few years ago, but
you know what I love about that? They all laughed at him. When he told them he wanted to be a wrestler, and they mm-hmm. mocked him.
Mm-hmm.
They mocked him, and who's mocking who now?
Mm-hmm.
He's a multiple-time WWE champion, won every title they've had there. Who's mocking who?
And now tag
team. I love stories like that.
Right up your Koma Sugiyama. That's what
The Miz is also one of the few Grand Slam champions in WWE. He's going to be
a two-time Grand Slam champion. He's a
two-time, yeah.
He's an absolute Hall of Famer. And
second best on the mic of all time, in my opinion, after The Rock.
He is the best Intercontinental Champion because the time when he was the Intercontinental Champion, Lesnar was world champion off TV. Miz carried that belt and made it relevant. I'm not saying he's the greatest wrestler who was the Intercontinental Champion. I think as far as someone who held that title and what he did with it. I'm going to say it. He was the best intercontinental champion that WWE ever had, because the belt was not meant to be, it wasn't like it was in the 80s and 90s. That belt had fallen off, and Miz took that belt and elevated it to the top. And I'll always give him credit for that. So there's absolutely bona fide Hall of Famer.
Why don't we just spend like 5 minutes talking about WrestleMania and our favorite moments?
Oh my God. Can I go first?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. Loved Rhea Ripley's entrance. Hers and Roman Reigns with the choir. Mm-hmm. Those were my two. I love the live music entrances. And I wanted to tell Anthony, I actually loved CM Punk at WrestleMania. I thought he made me laugh so fucking hard.
CM
he did,
Punk,
did incredible on commentary. And I loved how he helped give Damian Priest his moment. I can't believe Damian Priest, only the second person to cash in Money in the Bank at WrestleMania. That's crazy to me.
Because you think about how far apart Money in the Bank and WrestleMania is.
I kind of forgot about it. I forgot about it being a possibility at WrestleMania.
Neckbeards on the internet were complaining. He hasn't cashed in yet. He's going to cash in. He's waiting so long to cash in. He's never going to.
I said, if he doesn't cash in at Mania, he's going to cash in on the Monday after on Raw.
I was thinking it was going to be Mania. When the whole thing happened, I said it's going to be the winner of whoever Seth goes against. Originally, I thought it was going to be the winner of Seth and Punk, and then kind of set like Punk and him off on a thing. But then Punk got hurt. And then as soon as Punk was going to be at commentary, I'm like, oh, he's going to stick.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to stick Drew McIntyre. It's going to be absolutely hilarious. And it's exactly what happened. And it was good. I mean, most people hate on Damian Priest for some reason. I don't know why. I think the guy's very... I mean, I see it. You look at the internet again, the neckbeards, they don't like him. Some people don't like him for some reason. I think he's a phenomenal wrestler. It's about time. This guy's been around for a long time. He's paid his dues. And yeah. I was very happy to see him cash in. It's the new blood. It's nice to see someone new mm-hmm. with the belt. And I'm excited about it.
I love Bondage Undertaker. I love him.
Bondage Undertaker. My favorite thing about living in Alberta is that I'm in mountain time. So WrestleMania ended at like 9 o'clock at night for me, is like when I lived in Ontario, I was always like falling asleep by the last match. Mm-hmm. So I actually watched the press conference after that they did with all the champions, and Damian Priest like literally made me tear up, and it made me have this whole new respect for him. Like, he was homeless before, and he like had a long journey of struggling. So to see him accomplish that and become champion, like, makes me have a whole new respect for him. And, the Cody Rhodes thing, like, obviously cried at that. Like, that was, I love wrestling.
Yeah. So night one was kind of fun because I got to watch it with my nephew, Luke. He's like, and he's getting to that age where he's too cool for school. He's almost 11 years old. So hanging out with his uncle is not his idea of a fun time. But I walked in a couple of weeks ago and he's like, Uncle Cheese, can you take me to WrestleMania? I'm like, well, I'm not taking you to WrestleMania. I said, we can watch it. If we can, I'm like, yeah, we'll watch it, buddy. I'll come over and watch it. And I made sure, I kept making sure. I'm like, you sure you're into this? Because this is Uncle Cheese's big night. Like, this is my night. And he was like, yeah. So my nephew Rocco had won his flag football championship that day. So my brother had him. They were out at a party. They went to a local pizza joint and they were like celebrating there. So they didn't get home to like almost the end of WrestleMania.
Mm.
It was just me and him just hanging out. We ordered pizza and wings and we had a blast watching it. He was really into the Sami Zayn match. That was a cool moment. Watching Sami win. Cause I feel like last year, he kind of had a Daniel Bryan thing going where like, if it was any other year, that would have been his year, but the whole thing with Cody and everything. So I was glad to see him get that. Night one, Rhea Ripley, of course, she's phenomenal. I mean, it's incredible what she's doing, and I hope they keep that belt on her for a long time because she is absolutely phenomenal. And it just gets better every time I see her wrestle. And yeah, Cody Rhodes finishing the story. It was awesome. I cried like a baby. I was in the cigar lounge trying to, I was fighting tears back. Wait till I got home and then watch all the stuff, like the things that I was crying at home. When he handed the belt to his mother, I legit almost lost it at the Cigar Lounge. You know, someone who's lost their mother and like, you know, it just those it gets real. It's like, you know, it's almost like, yeah, I love wrestling. This is a real story. It's a great story. And it just was like it hit all the feels. To me, this is, if not the best WrestleMania, top three of all time.
I agree. It was up there. It was the first WrestleMania, and I honestly don't know how long that I wasn't disappointed in anything.
I loved every match. I'm like, this is the first one where I didn't have a problem with any of the matches. Like, you know, there's things that, yeah, I'm like, okay, I don't like A-Town, Uptown, whatever the fuck they are. Downtown, A-Town, the Grayson Waller.
Oh, I love Austin Theory.
But I get putting tag team on a heel tag team. The couple of, yeah, but I match outcomes, maybe I would change, but like the matches were great. Like I was into every match.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Damian cashing in his briefcase. I think that's when I had the like biggest, like, holy shit. I was sitting on the floor next to my kid. And then like, she was watching with us. She's three, you know? So like, she's like, I love WrestleMania, you know, but that I was like, holy shit. Like, I didn't even think about that being a possibility. When CM Punk and Drew had their moment, he like started to take off his brace and I was like, oh shit, is he like healed? You know, that was going to be his like comeback, you know, I got excited there. Yeah. All the great cameos at the end. My husband was watching with me and he hasn't watched wrestling in probably 20 years. So I know that the Undertaker, he was like, oh, like he was excited about that.
That was awesome.
Mm-hmm. What do you guys think of Logan Paul as a wrestler?
I think he's good. You know, I don't think he's the most technical wrestler in the world, but he's entertaining. He doesn't look bad in the ring, and he plays the perfect heel.
I don't think I'm at liberty to judge quite yet because I'm such a noob, but I don't know.
I think you are.
Yeah, you can judge.
I think it's whoever entertains you, whoever you like watching. You know, you don't have to, like, know anything about wrestling.
I guess I'm warming up to him. I don't know. It's just, I look at him as more of an influencer person, and I really don't like influencer people. Yeah. Influencers, I guess I could just say. So it's hard for me to get past that. I don't know.
Drink cred or you're a piece of shit.
Is just trash.
Never had it, but my nieces and nephews fucking love it.
It's so sweet. Like, and it's that fake sweet. Like, my nephews drink it. I taste it. Like, oh my God, this is gross.
Yeah.
Because like I look at the stats and I'm like, oh, it's not actually bad for, like, you know, as far as like, you know, calorie wise and this, and I'm like, oh, let me try that. I was like, oh, this is very sweet, like overly fake sweet. I was like, nah, not my thing.
Yeah,
I like they would chant, and the crowd was chanting Gatorade. Well, that's what's fun about it, because, you know, in him and Kevin Owens is one of my favorite wrestlers of all time, and I could watch him wrestle all day long. So
the way Kevin Owens moves for his body type is just, you've never seen anything like it in your life. Like, how the fuck does he do that?
It's like Chris Farley. Chris Farley would do cartwheels. He would, if he was fast, like, you know, it's just different, you know, that kind of thing. But like, you know, think about it, he's been wrestling over 20 years. He's wrestling was 15 on the indies, and he's a professional wrestler. He's mastered the craft, and like I said, I'll watch him wrestle any day of the week, any night. One of my favorites.
If like back in my single days, Kevin Owens is 1000% the dude I would be approaching in a bar. Like, that is my type of guy.
Like Jason Kelsey?
No.
The same.
Like, I know what you're saying, but no. The same.
They're identical almost. What do you mean?
Are they?
Yeah, if you look at them side by side, they're kind of like almost identical.
No.
Same body type, same beard.
This is like Amanda telling me that Cody Brown and Bret Michaels like have the same energy and look. Okay. And I'm like, no,
they do not.
No.
I very much disagree with that.
Yeah. No, that I liked their entrance too, Randy and Kevin's, that cute little golf cart entrance. Yeah. That was fun. Yeah, I liked that.
That was a fun. That was a good WrestleMania. It was just, I mean, like I said, nothing. I was not bored at any point.
Mm-hmm.
Every match, I enjoyed everything. I can't say that about other WrestleManias, especially since they went to the 2-night format. Some matches you think, oh, no need to have this. But everything made sense. Everything worked.
Well, that seems to be kind of the collective consensus.
Yeah.
Everyone seems to be happy except for a couple people, like random, but who the fuck cares? Neckbeard. But overall, I think people are happy. I don't
like Cody Rhodes won Roman Reigns to be champion forever. He's my strategy.
I will say, because like I said, I always end up falling asleep during the main event. First Roman Reigns WrestleMania match, I did not sleep through.
There we go. There's a WrestleMania first.
And he's just
an
getting
actual
started.
Entertaining
apparently.
Main event.
He's got a whole new storyline coming on. Do you guys like R-Truth?
Yes.
I do too. Every time. He gets me every time.
How could you not like R-Truth?
R-Truth lit a cigarette live on Monday Night Raw once in like the early 2000s.
Nice.
Did he really?
Amazing.
I go back and see that.
There's a YouTube video and it's like WWE wrestler smoking. And it's like time a wrestler has been caught with a cigarette at R-Truth did that. And then my personal favorite video, Randy Orton leaving a show and there's a crowd of fans and he goes out there and like asks someone if he could bum a cigarette. And it's like, Of course, Randy Orton smokes.
Yeah. And also CM Punk being back at WrestleMania, that was a big thing for me. I wish he was wrestling, but
next year,
I am a total CM Punk fanboy. He's my favorite wrestler. And I think he's showing people that he's a different person than he was 10 years ago when he walked out of this company. And it's good to have him back.
Yeah.
It got me. This your first WrestleMania?
Mm-hmm. It's the first one I've watched live.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I didn't get into wrestling till right after WrestleMania last year. I'm very new.
This is your first WrestleMania?
Like a virgin. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And okay, so this is the first WrestleMania where they haven't announced where it's gonna be next year during the show. So the whole entire time
here.
I was waiting. That's what they're saying.
Well, okay. I don't know. It's tough because especially after this one, I could see them really trying to go big. I was looking at the stadium they were in. I'm like, this seems a lot bigger than US Bank. I might be wrong, but.
No, it's Lincoln Financial. It fits 70,000, you know, it's a football.
It's because you've probably only been there for football games, right? Or have you?
I was there for Monster Jam recently.
Okay, so it seems like there's more people. Well, there is more people at WrestleMania than like a football game or something because they have the people on the floor too. Exactly.
Okay, yeah.
Are you talking about where the Vikings play?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. It probably holds the same amount as Lincoln Financial.
I don't know, man. It's the way they're showing it on screen.
All these
too.
Football stadiums, the pro football stadiums, hold at least 60,000 people. I mean, they're huge. These football stadiums
and like showing shots from above and shit. I'm sure it looks like a lot more than when I'm sitting in a seat looking around.
Vikings have a big fan base, so they definitely have an arena that's got to fit at least 60,000 people.
Yeah. I just passed by it today. Just my sister lives in Minneapolis.
Did you see the meme the Vikings put out?
No.
That they were the first ones to acknowledge the tribal chief.
I've seen. Yes, I did see that. Yeah.
They, I guess, drafted him, assigned him out of college, and he was in his Vikings jersey.
For two seconds, I think.
Yeah. But yeah. Still,
also, Roman Reigns also played in the CFL. He played for Edmonton.
Oh.
So did The Rock.
So did The Rock, yeah. He played for Calgary.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, The Rock played for Calgary Stampeders. Yeah.
I loved on night two the bit with The Rock and John Cena. I loved, I mean, obviously, that whole ending was great.
There's so many like fun Easter eggs that if you've been watching wrestling for a long time, were in that match. Like Roman getting Seth back with the chair. It was, and they showed it side by side. It was like he fell exactly the way Roman fell.
Oh, nice.
It was like to the T. It was perfect. It was absolutely perfect. I loved everything about it. I mean, it's so great. Wrestling's awesome. It really is. Like, if you don't like
I know.
Wrestling, like,
this know. Made me so happy that Triple H is, like, taking over. Like, the fans have wanted him to
for so long.
And this just shows me that, like, he's going to do what the fans want. It makes me, like, excited about wrestling again. Like, Raw and SmackDown are coming here in September. I'm just waiting to see... because they're doing the draft, so I'm just going to see who's going to be on who before I decide which one to go to, but I'm definitely going to go.
Well, do you remember when Triple H first took over NXT and how awesome it was?
Mm-hmm.
And everybody was like, oh my God, I can't wait till he takes over WWE because this is going to be phenomenal. And here it is. And so my message is, if you don't like pro wrestling, fuck you. That's it.
That's it. That's all.
That's it.
Stephanie McMahon looks really good too.
Her hair extensions were showing. Did you see that?
No, I did not.
She
see
turned.
That.
They showed like the profile angle, and she had clip-in hair extensions. That the whole track.
It was windy.
I was doing the like Leo point. I was like, why does every bitch in wrestling have bad hair extensions?
Hey, Becky got her shit together. And both of their fake hair was looking good. Rhea and
Rhea, oh my God. Rhea.
This might be controversial. I don't like Becky Lynch.
Oh, just, I like her.
I used to like her. There's something about her that just pisses me off. And I think that's why I started like, I really like Rhea Ripley because her promos against Becky were just so fucking good.
I'd let her beat the shit out of me.
Yeah, please. I would pay her to beat the shit out of me.
she is just about perfect.
Anthony, focus.
Sorry.
Back to here.
Last time I was at Bret Hart's bar, the server was like telling us Bret Hart goes in there on Thursday nights with his family. So if you ever want to meet him, that's when you go in, whatever. And he was saying when the wrestlers are here, like they always go into the bar after. So after Raw or whatever, I'm gonna go there. And AEW's here in July too, and I'm gonna go in there and like fangirl out, see who I can meet.
Mm-hmm. We're all just a couple of star fuckers. It's fine.
That's it. It's
honestly, I'm a fangirl. I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
That's CM Punk's pipe bombs at all by any chance?
Probably a long time ago. Probably with the AEW thing. I was like, who the fuck is when
AJ Lee, who is CM Punk's wife in real life, when she told the Bella Twins that Talon isn't sexually transmitted. That was like one of my favorites of all time.
You gotta go back. You gotta watch. There is the contract signing between CM Punk and John Cena.
John Cena. So good.
And it's actually, it's very good.
I'll watch it tonight.
Or the trip aside, the contract signing between him and Triple H. Who fires people? Is it you? Is it you, Funk Man?
You know what I was low-key like hoping would happen at WrestleMania? I kind of wanted Brock Lesnar to come out and take Paul Heyman back from Roman Reigns.
No, that's never gonna happen.
I know it's never gonna happen.
Because they're like talking about him again. Like all of a sudden they were just like, who cares? We're gonna talk about him.
Just
again.
The Paul Heyman Brock Lesnar era was just so good.
That speech he gave at the Hall of Fame was the best Hall of Fame speech of all time.
I didn't watch it. I stopped watching the Hall of Fame a long time ago. But, you know, during WrestleMania, when they show the highlights, when they showed Paul Heyman, I was like sobbing.
So if you watch that, it's a very emotional video. And he's the first one. So like, that's all I watched. I watched Paul Heyman and that was it because, I mean, I don't want to hear it. I know he has. Well, I watched some of them.
Remember, it used to be like 8 hours long on a Saturday afternoon. Like, it used to be so stupid.
I was at the Hall of Fame ceremony in Brooklyn in 2019 when the guy jumped in on Bret Hart and tackled him.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It was kind of wild to see live.
Because, like, so many wrestlers got involved and, like, beat the shit out of the guy.
This guy. Even be off camera, dragged him to the back. They were all beating the shit out of him. We looked at him like, oh, he's still getting his ass kicked. Look at him. And it was just, they beat the shit out of him. No, the whole thing used to be fun. I don't, you know, they had it on after SmackDown. So I watched, led into it. I watched Paul Heyman. Then I went back and I watched, Mike Rotunda and Barry Windham because they talked about Bray Wyatt. And then I watched that documentary. And, my God.
Oh, I still have to. I'm meaning to. It's on my list.
Good.
If you go back. So when I did, there was an episode of Hogan Knows Best where he gets inducted into the Hall of Fame. Right. So you like follow him to WrestleMania or whatever. And that was before I started paying attention. So if you listen to me, like name off the people, I'm like, there's like,
I remember
guy
when
named
you did that
Jake
episode.
The Snake.
I remember when you did that episode.
And I was like,
so funny.
I think that's Randy Orton. Like, Justine, please confirm to me if this guy over here is Randy Orton.
Speaking of,
I should go back and listen.
It's like 100% when Randy Orton gets inducted, I am going to that shit and I'm going to be standing up, bawling my fucking eyes out.
I was never a big Randy Orton fan. I've become more of a Randy Orton fan as he's gotten older. but like I never was a huge Randy Orton guy.
When
I mean, I used to have a YouTube channel called Justine RKO.
No, I mean, listen, I think he's phenomenal, and he's a first ballot Hall of Famer, one of the best wrestlers of all time. I didn't get into him more until, I guess he came back like last couple of times, and he was like, I don't know, it's like he didn't care. Not that he didn't care, but like it was just like he was having fun with it. And no, I enjoy his matches. I was just always a John Cena guy. And
one of the greatest heels of all time when he punched Stephanie McMahon in the head. So fucking good.
That storyline, and you think of how crazy that is, who was in that stable with him was Cody Rhodes. I mean, you had a young Cody.
I know, and then when he came out when Cody won the belt, oh, full circle.
I mean, you think about, it was crazy too, like, I was thinking about all these things going through my head, like when Triple H gave him a hug. I picture Cody like smashing that throne, and like, you know, he always said it like he didn't do that because he hated Triple H. He had to make a statement, like, you know, and he said like I burned a pretty big bridge, and then he was still back. I mean, he still went back. He still went back, which is amazing. And yeah, just everything about that WrestleMania, just bringing everything back to, you know, old times, new times. It was just, it was awesome. I mean, I can't.
It's a good time for wrestling, for sure.
Great. Yeah, it's a great time. And supposedly in AEW tonight, they did air the backstage footage of CM Punk choking out Jungle Boy.
Shut up.
Mm-hmm. Yep, they said they were going to do it. They did it.
Oh, my God. Okay.
I'm going to watch it before I go to bed.
Yeah.
Now they're trying to like call CM Punk a liar because what he said, but this is going to backfire for AEW. It's going to make them even look even worse, I think.
Even worse. There was like 30 people at the show I went to. Not true. There was way more than that, but it was
I mean, wrestling. I just hope Jericho's still around in July when it comes here so that I can get him to sign my Terrifier 2 steelbook.
Mm. It all comes all back to Terrifier.
Everything comes back to Terrifier. All right,
guys. I want
to go watch Teen Mom.
I understand. I'm going to go watch the challenge. Thank you guys both so much for coming on. It's always such a blast.
Thank you for having us. This was so much fun.
Thank you. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
All right. You guys go follow Justine and Anthony and both of their podcasts. And yeah, I'll tag them. You guys can find me on you guys can find me on Instagram at Surreality Pod, and you can always send hate mail to surrealitypod@gmail.com.